I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. We hope you enjoy our brand new episode.
And we have a special extra bonus edition coming out this Sunday to celebrate National Coming Out Day.
But for now, sit back and relax, because we're about to get very petty.
Petty!
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hi, Petty Bitches.
Hi, Petty Bitches. Welcome back to Petty Little Things. This is Davina Devine.
Okay, we're all like fighting to get a word in. And this is Victoria's Secret. Two Petty Bitches back together. If you are just joining us, because we've had a lot of new listeners, we've noticed, and this is your first time on our little rodeo, Petty Little Things is basically a podcast about every little stupid thing that what, Davina?
Rots us.
Oh, we get it off our chest.
Rots us in a kind of like LOL kind of way.
Yeah, totally. Plus, we really like to dive into topics that kind of fascinate us, that you are like, what the hell are they going on about? But by the end of it, we promise you too will be fascinated by them. Plus, we have on some of our fabulous friends for chats, chin wags, and other gossip.
LOL's guarantees.
How cheesy was that, Davina?
Very. It's where you almost wrote it down.
I actually didn't. Now, we both do keep notes. And when I say notes, it's not like professional, like we get the laptop out and we open up our Word document. We're old fashioned notes girls. You know, on the iPhone, like how many little things do you write down every week? Like that really annoys
you. I'm a pen and paper type of girl.
Are you really?
No.
No, I'm not.
I wouldn't waste. I'm a sustainable queen. I wouldn't waste paper. Mm. No, I like little notes, because you know sometimes when you're just walking around and something really just fucking irritates you and you're just like, I need to put that in the list. My list, I'm looking at my notes right now and I have like maybe about 3 or 4 things and things that like we're going to talk about, and I have about like 12 rotters.
Oh, I have 3 rotters. I actually couldn't make up my mind, but we'll get to that in a little while.
Yes.
We're fresh off returning back to your TV screens with our digital show. How did you find it, Davina? Because you came to my apartment.
I did. It was actually kind of, it was, do you know what was so weird? It came really back to us quite naturally. Mm. It felt like we weren't away for too long.
I was nervous at first. Do you know when we first went live, I was like, oh, what are we saying again? What are we doing?
Well, I had done a gig previously that day, which was like mad. It was for one of those big tech companies, and it was basically me talking to myself for an hour. Like, you know, at least we could bounce off each other, but this was bizarre. I hadn't done one of them in quite a while, where it was just like talking to, you know, it's like having, I was kind of describing it as like a virtual seance. So I was like, is there anybody out there?
It was very strange.
It was actually grand. It was fine. But this whole digital tech thing, yeah. It's, you know, I feel like we've gone through the trauma of learning it all before. 100%. So it's a little bit like we're back in the saddle, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Like, Davina came over to mine, and my apartment is a one-bedroom apartment, and it really feels like a one-bedroom apartment. It's not huge. So two big wigs and a bottle of Kylie wine just about fit in. Okay, yeah, Davina.
Can we have a moment for the Kylie wine?
Yeah.
Well, I'm on antibiotics now, and I was just saying just before we start recording, all I can think about is Kylie wine. Now, I know it's getting mixed reviews. Some people are like saying, oh, it's trash, it's putrid. But I tell you this, it'll get you lit. Absolutely. And I know there's a red, a rosé, and a white.
Yeah.
So I've had the white and the rosé. So, and I wouldn't drink red because, you know.
Kylie's some woman for one woman, isn't she? She's got the spectacles. She's got the bedwear.
Yeah.
Now she's got the wine.
Like, are the glasses still on the go?
Yeah, they're still on the go. I think they're in like Specsavers now. I have 20/20 vision, and actually, I don't know if that's a good thing in the year 2020, but like, so I've never needed them. But yeah, they're kind of nice as well.
Well, they're just fucking glasses. Like, come on now.
What is your favorite Kylie song?
My favorite Kylie song is On a Night Like This.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Because I actually only asked my friend Martin, who never listens to the podcast. So, hi, Martin.
Hi, Martin.
He's a massive Kylie fan. And when we went to see Kylie in the three, we were like gold circle. We were right at the very front.
Yeah.
And I've never been that close for a concert ever. Like, right. Well, except when I was on stage with Michael Jackson. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. right at the front. And Martin started crying when Kylie was on stage. So, but he's a massive Kylie fan. And his song as well is On a Night Like This. What's yours?
I think mine is going to be a really random one because it just reminds me of a fun time. It's Fever. Like that little.
Oh, I love Fever.
I love Fever. It's such a little bop. And also, it just gives me so many memories. Plus, I've seen loads of drag queens perform it over the years, and it's a fun one. So, yeah, probably Fever.
Feel the Fever. Fever. Feel the Fever. Fever reminds me of when myself and April made our video for AMI. Do you remember I was talking on a few podcasts ago about having the DVDs or the VHSs turned to DVDs? Yes. Do you remember something like that?
Yeah.
And the footage of myself and April performing all around town, on the VHSs. So I got them converted to, so I could upload them. I have them in my possession, but they are so, I don't know if I'm ready for the cringation of that.
Can I suggest something?
Yes.
So we have another live digital show coming up. It's on the 15th of October.
Oh, great idea.
I think you should show some of those clips. And maybe we'll delve through the internet and see, can we find some really cringy clips of us performing? And we'll just show 30 seconds of them as part of the show.
There's hundreds of them up, hundreds of them. Somebody sent me a video actually today of myself in Super Value Houston South Quarter just walking down an escalator. I think it's from about like 10 years ago. I'm just like, and it says, the video is called Shopping.
Oh my God, I must die. Like, there's a video of me on a cleaning motor thing.
Yes, I remember that. That was in Dunleary Arts College.
Dunleary Arts College. I must see if that still exists as well.
Oh, it was on so Bebo fun.
And died with Bebo.
Yeah, I know. And do you remember when we had our original Facebook profiles and all our photos and stuff were on that? And then when we had the big, that's not your real name, gate, and we all had to shift ourselves. Like, we lost loads of photos.
Loads
of photos.
I tried to get some of them down, but like, I definitely lost loads. And even when Facebook made me change over to a page, like, it that now everything's all over the place. So I don't even know where to find shit.
And Facebook, I don't know, the interaction and stuff on Facebook is very weird. Actually, you were saying something,
right,
weren't you, about Facebook?
I have a little theory. Now, it could be way off here. I want to see what you think. So I'm currently feeling very sorry for my friends who are working in the UK. Although they're working in actual bars and we're not, I still find myself feeling sorry for them. So they've now got this 10 p.m. curfew. And from what I'm hearing, it's killing the bar trade. So not only are the staff not getting furlough, so there's no grants or anything like that because they're allowed trade, but they're only allowed trade until 10 p.m. And me and you both know the party gets kicking at 10 p.m., not finishing at 10 p.m. So I feel really sorry for them. And I was sharing up north the Mavericks opening hours going, you know, it's really important, and I mean this, that everyone goes to these places, because if not, we might end up losing like gay bars and queer spaces. And I use the word queer in it as protect queer spaces. Mm-hmm. Not one person saw the post. And you know, it shows you how many people see the post. Like, it literally said one person has seen the post. And I was like, well, that's fucking me. I've seen the post. So then I reshared the same post and I changed the word from queer to the LGBT flag. And loads of people saw it all of a sudden. And I was like, are we being censored on Facebook?
Yeah, well, like, God knows. It's not like we'll ever know. And the algorithms are just so fucked, especially even so on YouTube fucked. And things like that at the moment. So it's hard for anyone to kind of promote something or plug something. You just seem to be seeing the same shit all the time for like someone fucking flogging you know, some new product or this or that or whatever, but right. you're not seeing the actual, it's very strange.
Yeah. It's, well, I'm going to keep actually doing a little tester because I'm a nosy Nora and I
Yeah, and actually, if anyone in the tech business is out there, send us a DM and let us know if what is up with that or how how to get around that.
Because I want to use the word queer. Like, do you know what I mean? I actually want to use it.
Oh, a fair square.
Okay, can I use your political brain for a minute? Because you're a bit more in tune with politics and all that.
Okay, well, that's a loose term now, so go ahead. Loosely. I'm loosely.
Tell me about the debate. Because obviously I know Trump has COVID. Well, allegedly has
allegedly.
COVID.
Yeah, Wendy Williams said allegedly.
Yeah, and Melania and...
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch it.
I stayed up and I watched it because I love a good debate, I have to say, like a political debate, because I always feel like it gets... It's total The Real Housewife in me. It's like, yeah. It feels like a reunion. You know there's going to be drama, there's going to be trouble, and they play dirty. And I stayed up to watch it, and I was just kind of like very open-minded, letting them see what way it was going to go. And it was just painful to watch. Like, they just were slinging dirt. Like, Trump is obviously... like a moron.
Oh, he's a and nasty then, player as well, though.
But, you know, I was expecting him to go kind of lower than what he did. Mm. I just don't think he was... He didn't seem kind of fully prepared. All he just kept saying to your man, Biden, was, 47 years, you've done nothing, Joe. 47 years, you've done nothing. Mm. And that was, like, his kind of go-to mudsling. And Joe Biden, who I'd never kind of seen in action. Mm-hmm. I don't really know much about his politics or whatever. Yeah. But from what I get as well, I don't feel very confident with him either. The two of them just feel like two duds, in my opinion. Like, I know maybe I'm just, I don't know, obviously Biden over Trump anyway, but it just felt like, you know, Biden was just like kept kind of forgetting his words or what he was saying or where, like, it was a shit show. And then
I know that they have been trying to make him look like he isn't, you know, all old. Together. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, sharp and like honest and potentially has some issues around that.
Well, it kind of looks a bit like that. And for someone from the first time seeing it. So I don't know what way that the voters are going to go or how that's going to roll out. But I did see, this made me kind of laugh, was Brandy Glanville had posted, she tweeted a post saying, sorry guys, could we just like not let anyone over 65 run for president? And I was kind of thinking, she's kind of right. Mm-hmm. In a weird way. Like Trump is 74 mm-hmm. and Biden, I think, is 77. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. like I'm sure, you know, that's quite an age. I'm not saying that obviously people like that are like incompetent or anything. Yeah. I'm not saying that. But it's an age to be taken on such demanding jobs. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
You know what, though? The people of that age group... Yeah. weren't around in like the very early, no, actually that makes no sense, but like Trump, but like there's less shit on them, I'd say, to be pulled out because the records weren't being recorded in the same
social media
way.
And stuff.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If you're like 30, 40, all you have to do is type in your name to Google and you're like, woo, there you go.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, for people going, I was thinking about that when the election was rolling and I was thinking about new people coming up to the ranks, especially in America, and so because they play so dirty.
So
like,
dirty.
You know, everybody has a past. Everybody has a past. And now people like that are grown up, like their whole lives are on social media. Yeah. Like from the time they're teenagers.
Yeah.
So everything is documented, recorded. Every little word they say could be dug up. So God knows what we're going into. It doesn't even bear thinking about, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it doesn't at all. Can I just say, our teeth, now we do have nice teeth, we're very lucky. On that digital show last Thursday, I'd say we were the envy of the whole Ireland last Thursday.
That's teeth, a good ring light, bitch.
Our teeth looked fucking gorgeous.
Stunning gnashes, turkey teeth, almost like turkey teeth.
Turkey teeth, I've seen a few of them rocking about.
Oh, can I just say about turkey, now I'm all for people going away and having to have all the surgery. You're like, I'm totally for having nips, tucks, whatever you want. However... what I have noticed is, and I don't know if it's like where people are going to, or if it's maybe it's everyone's mouth is different, but I've seen a couple of people where it's like the teeth are too big for the mouth.
Yeah,
I've and it's seen like that it too. gives the person like
like Rylan,
almost a bit of a cleft palate kind of look.
Like Rylan's teeth are too big for his mouth.
Yeah, he got them fixed.
Oh,
he got them adjusted. Yeah,
okay.
So I don't know if it's to do with the veneer or if it's to do with the doctor or dentist or whatever, I don't know, yeah. But I've seen a couple of people that actually it puffs out. It's like wearing, if you ever want to have a laugh, like just get like little bits of tissue, roll it up and stuff under your gob. It'll give you like a little fake lip job.
I like white teeth, but there's white teeth and then there's this Tippex white, which I think is just too much. They look
ridiculous. Ross from Friends white.
Yes, they look ridiculous. Yeah. But speaking of like nip tucks and touches, I have to say this talk of level 5 put the shits up me. So this morning I booked in this week for a refresh of my Botox and lip filler because I was if I have to sit in for the next few weeks, I'm going to sit in with a frozen face and a nice juicy lip. So yeah. That's
Do you know, actually, just while we're on it, a good little tip for y'all, if you ever want to get out of work and you just can't think, you don't want to be like sick, is what I just said there, is to get little bits of cotton wool or cotton ball and stick it, like soak it in water and stick it all up under your like top lip and say that you think you're having an allergic reaction and that your lip is swelling up. It's really I did that before. It worked a treat. So if you ever need to get out of work quick, just because you'll have to leave straight away because they're like, oh God, you're swelling up. You need to leave. So there you go. That's a little tip from me to you.
Right, Dee, let's talk a bit of TV for a second. I want to know something because I haven't watched Little Mix, this search thing. I saw you tweet about it. It looks awful. Like it's right up my street. Why? What's going on with it?
I only watched it for the first time on Saturday, and there's just like they're great at performing and doing their concerts and releasing singles, stick to that. It's just the personalities for me just weren't there, and I felt like they were like being really produced, you know, like, oh, say this, or you know, you'd be a little bit tougher, you'd be nicer. It just felt a little bit like
you know, the BBC haven't had the Hunzo best search. The BBC haven't had the best of luck with the old music search shows.
Also, The Voice and all that crap that starts on BBC, like, not one fucking winner comes out of it. Not one star. No. Like, not one.
No.
And there's been fucking seasons of it. Like, I couldn't tell you one winner of The Voice. Yeah. Well, I know your man from Liberty X, he won it.
Did he?
But I think so, yeah. Or he was in the top two, something like that. But he already had a career, so...
Yeah.
Whatever. And he was very good, in fairness. But... even like the Doris, finding the Dorothys, or
I enjoyed them.
Andrew, but at least it was a gig at the end of that.
Like, and actually, a lot of those people are still working. But the other,
just while we're on that subject, you know, we were talking about. I was thinking about like all those West End people and stuff, and I was thinking about Martine McCutcheon.
Love.
I got suggested a Martine McCutcheon. Yeah, from EastEnders fame. And do you remember she was... Stop singing. Stop singing, please. Do you remember she was cast by Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady? And it was scandal because she was always sick. Always. And then they were saying she was just calling in sick and she was just unreliable and she had tonsillitis and blah, blah, blah. So one of the performances came up on my YouTube suggestion. So I just watched it and it was like from 2001, I think it was. It was kind of gas. She was doing like a little dance routine.
Okay.
So then I said, I think I'd like to watch some more Martine McCutcheon just because it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So I clicked it, Martine McCutcheon. Yeah. But then it came up, right? Check it into YouTube. It's fucking hilarious. One of the top searches is Martine McCutcheon, black tights. Right? Martine McCutcheon, black tights. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So I clicked on it. And there's just somebody has uploaded lots of videos of Martine McCutcheon wearing black tights.
Oh,
like,
my
so
God.
She's on Parkinson wearing black tights, and they slow it down when she crosses her legs. Some crossdresser has like put up these videos. There's like Martine McCutcheon walking down the stairs in black tights, and they have other people in tights, just like
ridiculous.
On chat shows. It's fascinating. Like, all about 20 seconds long little clips. Yeah. Check it out.
As they say in the Bible, black tights means.
Dirty legs.
So you be careful, Martine. We're on to you with your dirty legs. I watched something on Netflix that only came out last week, and it's called The Boys in the Band. I'm feeling you might not watch this, but I don't know. It was very dark. Very dark.
I heard really good things about it, so I might give it a go.
It was set the year before Stonewall in New York City, and... pretty much basically surrounded this group of gay males in New York City are all having a party. And then an old college mate comes over, and it really deals with a lot of self-hating internal homophobia. And I have to say, I had to sit afterwards and like just hold myself and go, okay, that was a lot. But it was kind of brilliant. You should watch it if you're into it.
Yeah, I think I will, yeah. I was watching that American Murder. Have you seen that?
No.
I watched that. Yeah, that's. I was kind of raging though because I love. I think it's called, like, it's like Irish. It's like the American version of Primetime. It's like 60 Minutes, or not 60 Minutes Australia. I think it's like Nightline, that's what it's called, Nightline in America. Yeah. And I always watch those news specials when there's a scandal or whatever. And I watched that about a year ago, the story of the murder.
Okay.
So I was kind of raging because I knew the story. But it was basically about this family. Well, it just, it's about this guy and this murder in the family and blah, blah, blah. Just, it's worth a watch. It's a good, just non-committal one episode. Yeah. One hit wonder, just go.
If there's someone being murdered and a documentary about it, Davina's there. Let's put it like that. That's why the Christians come for her on Twitter, because she's mad.
And do you know what I'm obsessed with? Did you watch Unsolved Mysteries?
No, I don't watch anything like that.
Oh, I love like a mystery, and especially when it's resolved, it's my favourite. But there was talk of them doing like an international Unsolved Mysteries, because there's mysteries from all around the world. And somebody had said recently about trying to do one for, you know, the missing schoolboy that went missing from Dublin, Philip Kearns. Do you remember Dublin years ago?
Yeah.
That would be a great Unsolved Mystery, because somebody has to know something.
Somebody
does. What went on there.
There's a like, couple of people missing for just years, decades.
Just no resolution. Like that's my worst fear in life, is for somebody to go missing like that with no answers.
I regularly get that fear, like that someone is going to go missing in my life. It's really weird. Has anyone checked on Dolly?
Oh, she's still there. She's still there, definitely. I usually post something, tag her in something like during the day, and then when nightfall comes, she arrives and she posts something nasty in response. It does be worth the wait.
From the crypt.
When she wakes in slumber.
It is Monday. We're recording this a few days before the podcast comes out. And Monday means one thing to me and Davina. It is Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes.
Oh, dear Jesus. It's so good at the moment.
It's brilliant. I don't know if some of you probably aren't watching The Housewives, but there's just a little bit of murder going on. And two of the girls actually had a fist fight last week.
Reefed by the hair. Now, like that looked sore. It did. It really
did. Well, she had a weave. So basically one of them grabbed the other one by the weave and just would not let go. And they were like, "Let her go, Monique." That was the exact phrasing.
Drag me, Monique. Drag me.
And she did drag her. But I have to say now, they're being so self-righteous. I would have dragged her as well.
Now, I have to say, Candace, probably now
she egged her on.
I know. I would never turn to physical assault. I probably would have thrown a drink over Candace, because you know me and you have that history where we did have that altercation. But I wouldn't have put my hands on her ever.
Well, not on camera.
No, ever. I wouldn't have. I really feel that like Candace has been egging on those women for a long time. But did she deserve to be thumped over the head?
No,
definitely not. But who I'm loving, and the casting are doing so well this year, because obviously Leah in New York killed it. Wendy wasn't sure straight away.
I don't like Wendy.
Oh, I love her. This episode, she was not letting her away with anything.
I know, but you know what I see? Like, I'm on Team Monique. I'm like, I think she did the right thing by grabbing her. She's a cheeky bitch, that one. She needed a slap.
Okay.
She needed a slap. And like, she's like, the thing that rots me about that is afterwards, she's like, "I did nothing to provoke that." I was like, all you've done is provoke her for months.
I know.
Like, people are going to flip eventually, you know? You can't keep doing that and expect no reaction.
Yeah.
What was it I said? Every action has a reaction.
Yeah. That was some advice that Davina gave me separate to the podcast yesterday. Every action has a reaction. And like, to be fair, it was only last year that Candace was like throwing herself around with a knife in her hand. So it's not like, you know,
she threatened her out of her house with a knife. Like, come on.
She's perfect in any way. I think,
Now, granted, it was a butter knife. So
fair. See, before we go to a little ad break, I have a juicy story to tell you. And I think you're going to really love this. But I want to remind everyone before I tell this story, we need you all to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I normally say it at the end of the podcast, but I'm saying it earlier this week. So go on to Apple Podcast app and leave us a 5-star review. We also would like a couple of lines about why you love me so much and you're okay about Davina so much. So go
or
on.
Or vice versa.
Go on and leave it there.
You've got taste, you can do it the other way around.
Because it does help other people try and find our podcast. In the meantime, this juicy story. Okay, pour the tea because I'm about to go in.
Yeah, go for it, please.
So Pixie, who has now moved back to Kilkenny, during this.
Hi Pixie.
She told me I could share this, so that's okay.
Okay.
Before that, she obviously lives around the corner from me with Veda, and
they're sisters.
Yeah, they're Wednesday sisters, and their neighbor had obviously got a skip in, and Veda was like, "Okay, maybe we should be thinking about doing."
The neighbor was having some work done or something.
Having some work done, yeah.
Okay.
So Veda was like, "Oh, maybe we should get rid of some, you know, random bits that are here that you know
into someone else's skip."
I mean, does everyone do that?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, beyond that, Pixie went into her room, and I don't know if you're this person. I feel like you bin stuff straight away, but like I probably would do it a bit as well, keeping little bits from, say, like exes. So
no. Don't okay. keep anything.
Knew you wouldn't. I knew you burnt it as soon as they're out the door. They're not. They're actually, they have barely closed the door and you've burnt every bit of evidence.
I'm burning it as they're leaving the bitch.
So Pixie opened the drawer and decided to go through all those bits and bin them.
Okay.
But she put them in a plastic bag, which obviously then went...
She was putting old bits into the skip.
Yeah, right. But she put them into a plastic bag, and that plastic bag ended up in the skip. Oh, so no. The next day, Pixie told me, it was early in the morning, Pixie told me that Veda was doing some cleaning, and the window was open.
No.
And the builders obviously had gone through the bits that were in the skip. And,
no.
And there they were opening up a letter, like a love letter, oh. and reading it out loud to each other.
Jesus Christ!
Veda had to run towards the window and shut it as fast as possible because she was mortified for Pixie, like mortified.
Oh my god, I actually had to pull away from the microphone because that is just, I'm burning up.
Oh my
I'm
god.
Burning up with
embarrassment. Isn't it the best? Now, isn't it the best? Obviously, Pixie doesn't give a fuck and that's why she told me I could tell the story, but I had,
oh,
I was,
Jesus.
I actually know that 3 weeks and I meant to say it on the last episode, but then I didn't want to tell you off the phone because I was like, I need to hear your reaction.
That is absolutely cringe-ifying. Yeah,
cringe.
I'll tell you, I remember that years ago we got a skip. We were getting, I think we were having some work done in the house and we had a skip. And you know when as soon as you get a skip, you,
yeah.
like you go to bed, you wake up in the morning, there's a fucking mattress on the skip. Like there's yeah. always,
yeah.
mattress will come from fucking somewhere.
Mm.
So basically, like where I lived, there's all these kind of like little alleys and stuff where people had like the back of their houses.
Yeah.
And there was this like old carpet that like we were kids, we were always constantly running around playing in the alleys and stuff. And this man had obviously left this old carpet in the alley for, like it was there for a good month, I'd say, mm-hmm. and it was sodden wet, you know, like in the rain, it was gross, filled with moss and everything.
Yeah.
And I woke up in the morning and there it was. I remember I must have been only about, say, 11 or 12, and there was the carpet in the skip.
Oh.
I was like, oh, well, we know where that belongs. So me and my friend lifted it out of the skip, straight back around to the alley, right back outside his door. So we just-
See, and that's why we have a podcast called Petty Little Things.
Petty Little Things since 1980, blah, blah, blah.
1980, blah, blah, blah. Well, I was born in the 90s, but okay.
You fucking wish would you go away.
So, yeah, that is the end of our first half of our episode. We have so much coming up.
As it is National Coming Out Day this weekend, to celebrate, myself and Victoria are going to share some of our own personal coming out stories, which is a little juicy, to say the least.
Oh, it's so personal. Too. Do you know what I mean?
I know. It's... but everyone has a story, and also we have a bonus episode coming out to mark the day itself this Sunday with some very special guests telling their own tales of their own coming out. So it's going to be juicy this weekend.
Juicy, yeah. Like a bumper week, we're giving you two episodes.
Yeah.
Plus, while I have you guys, next week on the 15th of October, me and Davina are returning with our digital show, a brand new digital show that we've never done before. Mm. This one is going to be called... The 7 month itch. Why is it called a 7 month itch, Davina?
Well, we're actually going to be broadcasting live from the George, and it's to commemorate the fact that the George has been closing for 7 months.
Yeah.
So it's actually 7 months on just the 15th. It's coming up to there. Right. So
do you want to know how many days? Because you know I love a statistic. So,
yes, please.
On the 15th of October, the George will have been closed for 218 days.
Oh my God. It's like a minimum security prison sentence.
I know. I know. Now, we're not going to tell you all about the show right now, but stay tuned to our yes. social media and we'll be sharing what we're going to be doing in the George on October 15th. You can buy tickets right now from PettyLittleThings.net. But also stay tuned because we still have our Rotters of the Week. We'll be trying to force you to buy some of our merch. Lots of fun on the way.
Yay!
Okay, it's time to get deep, you guys. We're going to share our own coming out stories right now, but we also recorded a load of information. Information? That sounds very official. Interviews for this episode. Actually, we spent about 4 hours recording in total. We have some very special guests that we're bringing out as part of a bonus episode this Sunday. Davina, who do we have?
We have the gorgeous Miss Dizzy Dianford. She's telling all the tales of her past. We have media darling, star of Exposé and her.ie, Cassie Stokes.
And then from the bisexual perspective, we also spoke to Dean Reedy. Plus, we have an amazing interview coming up with Irish trans woman Rebecca de Havilland. To be honest, it is so fabulous. We can't squeeze it all into the same episode. It deserves its own episode. Mm-hmm. So that will be coming up soon. But for now, are you ready, Davina?
Yeah, so I think, like, so we're going to share our stories, are we?
Yeah. I mean, mine is not that salacious, but, I do remember sitting in, as young as, like, senior infants, maybe first class, beside a boy, and knowing that I was different from them all, knowing that I didn't want them to know what was different about me, but not knowing why I was different, but also...
Was your aftershave.
Was my aftershave. I also, like, really... I thought that boy was fab. Like, I really thought he was deadly, if that makes sense. But I didn't know that it was because I probably had a little crush on him.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I always, like, no matter what I did, like, I remember doing scouts and I used to take these fascinations on, like, certain boys. But it really, again, I didn't know what gay was.
Yeah.
I just knew
there was no name for it. You just kind of knew there was something going on.
Different.
Yeah, I can relate, yeah.
But it was so important. And especially, like, we're, like, the same age. You did not want to be different in school because any difference.
I think people still don't. I think that's the one thing. Like I'm thinking about this a lot. It's, I think that's the running thing. It's like that you feel like an outsider.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And nobody wants to feel like that.
No. Because, I mean, you're afraid you're going to get picked on. Now, I wasn't picked on. I had no, like, issues in school. Mm-hmm. Like, I got as much as anyone else got, if that makes sense. Hated school. Like, didn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But just wasn't.
Do you think part of that is because you knew inherently that you were different to the other boys in the school? Do you think that, because sometimes I think about that made me feel like, you know, I felt internally like an outsider, even though, you know, it was all internal. Do you think that's part of why we hated school? Because we knew.
I think so. Yeah.
Like it was like
I knew I wasn't good at sports.
Yeah.
And I knew that I'd look like a twat doing them. So I really didn't want to do them. Yeah. And I dulled my shine. I made myself quieter. I made myself smaller. And I'm like 6'2". So like, but all just so I wouldn't stick out and have
all
any issues.
Those things that you said there, all those things are things that you changed to not be exposed.
Mm.
Like even from that young age.
Yeah.
Like,
very much so.
So it's like you kind of learned to kind of mute yourself almost.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't want to speak out loud.
That's crazy.
Now we can't shut up. Like, so it's weird. No.
Well, it's like, that's sweet. You know, when someone is told to be quiet for so long, it's like...
Totally.
Find your voice and your feet.
Totally. And like in secondary school, because I'm going to fast forward, like that was just the kind of early parts. In secondary school, in first year, we had a teacher who was our religion teacher who came out as part of his classes.
Oh.
And at that time.
Oh, like to the class?
Yeah, yeah.
And wow.
There was no teaching.
That's very progressive.
Very. But he also lost his job eventually or was pushed out. I don't know how it happened. I was only like 12 or 13. But you know, that was my first.
I never knew that.
No, I never shared that with you. Yeah. Like, he was much more progressive. We had some Muslim boys in our class and he made sure to be inclusive of them at a time that, you know, to be honest, they were sticking out in the classroom and, you know, they were not supposed to be doing religion because we were learning a very one side of religion. And he made sure to teach all sides of religion, which was fab. But again, it was to his demise. And seeing that he was kind of essentially pushed out and maybe made a bit of fun of, kind of, I suppose, if I was thinking that I was gay at the time, made me even go even more inside of myself.
Yeah.
There was also, and I just remembered this earlier today, there was a gay couple that lived in our estate. And our estate was very big, but the whole estate, like I'm sure there was like 700 houses in our estate.
Okay.
The whole estate knew that these gay men were living together in this house.
And bachelors.
Confirmed bachelors. No, they knew they were gays. And like, they were the talk of the estate. Do you know what I mean? The kids would be talking about them. It was very like, oh, there's
the
gays.
Do you think they knew that they were talk of the town?
I hope not. But they were, like, the kids would be like, oh, that's the gays' house. Do you know what I mean? Didn't even know what it was.
Now they say about your house.
So fast forward again, and I'm about 15. I got my first job, and I start kind of dating girls. Did I have crushes on girls? No. Did I idolize girls? Yes. I thought they were so fabulous. To this day, I really am more interested in female singers, TV and film that have strong female leads. Not so into any boy bands. I just love women. I think they're amazing. I think the visuals stunning. And I think that helped me in terms of I started working and all the boys were dating and I felt like I had to date too. Yeah. So I'd have little, you know, dalliances. I had a girlfriend for, you know, maybe 6 months. I'm not a gold star gay. I experimented.
You're like, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. I experimented fully. And one weird thing that kind of happened when I was working in a supermarket at the time was I was friends with this one girl who had a boyfriend. And the boyfriend was kind of giving me a hard time and kind of, you know, I was effeminate. I definitely was.
Yeah.
And giving me...
Giving you shit for being gay, like, or like kind of like insinuating.
Oh, no, he was. He was saying that I was gay to people. Okay. And, you know, like at that time, like, I was very, like, I didn't really establish internally that I was gay. And I knew that his girlfriend was, like, kind of had a fascination with me. So we were out on a night out, only about 15, 16, probably drinking. Sorry, ma'am, if you're listening. We were probably shit-faced. And I kissed her. And she was very into it. And I was like, ha. Do you know what I mean? Like, ha. That,
you just did it to get to get at him.
Being a petty bitch. I was like, oh, I'm gay, am I? Oh, Grant. Right, well, actually, no, your girlfriend's mad about me. So then I had to face work the next day and I was shitting it. Because he was kind of scary. But
intimidating. Like, because people like that, they lord over people. Like, and it's intimidation.
Yeah, he was a bit of a bully, like.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, I don't know how I got away with it, but he was too caught up in the drama that she cheated on him to be focusing on me at all. So, like, yeah, I think that kind of stopped people talking about it for a while. But
so that was like a ruse, like you were just like a distraction.
Yeah, like almost like a beard. Do you know the kind of way, which sounds terrible, but like also now, fast forward, we've had some great chats about fluidity, which is something that was never presented to us at the time. And I now know that, you know, like sexuality isn't just linear. It really is fluid. And like, I don't think I fit into the exact box that I thought I would have when I was like 18, 19.
Yeah.
So fast forward again, and I'm like 17, and I was like, right, no more girlfriends, none of this. I knew that like, that I was
coming
gay.
To an end.
Yeah, I was gay. I'd seen like Queer as Folk. Brian Dowling was on Big Brother, and I was seeing him as an out, proud Irish man being celebrated. But I knew that I could not come out until after school was done. Like, I knew that, like, I wasn't Billy Big Balls who could be the out, proud gay man at 17 in my final year of school.
Yeah.
Now, my mum did find a letter that I had written to myself in the most dramatic gay way.
Hang on, so you wrote a letter to yourself?
Yeah, kind of like, I was a bit of a diary person.
Oh, right, okay.
I also used to collect...
Dear diary
today. I used to collect magazines, like Heat magazine, and cut out, now my mum doesn't know this, used to cut out all the men that I really fancied. So like David Beckham and Guy...
Oh, yeah, now I was going to say, who did you cut out?
Yeah, Guy Ritchie, Gary Lucy, all of those types of people.
Yeah.
And I used to have a Davidoff aftershave gift set box that had a plastic tray inside it that you could lift out, and I'd put all the like men that I fancied, kind of like a scrapbooky vibe.
Fair, okay.
Underneath that, no, she never found that. I'm just sharing that because that's cringe as hell.
It's more cringe that you had a Davidoff aftershave.
Cool waters. Actually, can I be honest with you? Mm-hmm. That gift set was bought for me by the girlfriend that I had, but I kept the gift box. Oh God.
Oh,
there we go.
Well, at least you kept the most important part of the box.
So my mom like pulled me aside in the classic Irish mom way that, you know, they open your letters and they, you know, they're all over you.
No, your mom.
Lots of Irish moms. And I remember being like, oh no, like I'm not ready for this conversation.
Oh, geez. So I ran into... did you know this was coming?
Because she said, I need to speak to you about this.
Oh God. But did you know it was about that, or did you think it was about something else?
Because she started talking about it. So I ran to the bathroom, locked myself into the bathroom, and I was like, no, like I'm not talking about it. Eventually kind of came out of the bathroom, didn't come out. But I she asked me questions like, you know, did I identify as, like, did I like boys and girls? And I kind of was like, I just kept saying, I don't know. Because I just wasn't ready for that conversation.
It's the shame and the kind of, it's like what we were talking about with Noah later on. It's like that feeling of being exposed.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. You're cost. Vulnerable. Like, really vulnerable. Nobody enjoys that. So, you know, my uncle, I'm not sure if he was married at the time, but was out for years, her brother, as a gay man. So, really, you would think that I wouldn't have had as much anxiety about it. But, you know, I think you never know how... You always think of the worst when you're going to come out. And so she let me away with that. And eventually, you know... Once I finished school, I literally remember thinking, I'm going to come out as soon as school is over. Like, as soon as I'm done with that school, I'm going to be more authentic to myself. And that is what I did. And it really wasn't as big and as bad or scary as I thought it might have been.
Mm-hmm.
But it haunted me for a lot of my, like, teens.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that little demon in the back of your head going,
yeah,
is someone going to see through this facade? And you can try and hide it and cover it. And I didn't want to go to teenage discos because I knew that I'd be faced maybe having to kiss 12 girls.
Explain yourself.
12 girls if I didn't want to stick out instead of, you know, one little girlfriend.
Were you like a chick magnet, were you?
No, but like, do you not remember like those teenage discos?
It was
people could you kiss?
I know. It was absolutely, almost like a thing. It was so, like, you had to prove yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically my coming out story. It's not hugely dramatic, but the road to get there was...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kind of torturing. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like I kind of had to do the same thing again when it came to drag. Like, come out as a drag queen.
I was thinking about that as well. I was literally thinking about that point. I knew we were going to be talking about that and I was going to say that to you.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like you have to explain yourself again?
Right. I mean, for most of my 20s, I definitely had to do it anytime I went on dating. And I always had this fear that, you know, someone would reject me because I was a drag queen. And then I started to go, I'm not going to tell them until the second date. And purely because if they reject me on the first date, I might not even want a second date. So fuck you for rejecting me when I'm not even interested. Do you know what I mean? And absolutely. Then I just realized in the long run, there's just no point in holding back on that. And also things have moved on. But when my mom found out I did drag, it was because, again, sorry, ma'am, I know you're listening. There's nothing sacred in the Irish family home. And she found my bag of drag. And she pulled it out and asked me, you know...
What you thought was a dead body under the bed, did she?
Because the smell of it.
Yeah. Jesus, Philip, stop.
Well, she basically said, you know, do we need to have a talk about, you know, gender? And when that came to me, I took a big kind of almost a sigh of relief because I was like, actually, no, it's not as deep as that. And I was like, no, like it's a hobby. And it really was. When you started drag, whenever we started drag, we didn't do it to become career girls. We did it because we loved it and it was fun and we wanted to have a laugh. And she went from being kind of weirded out by that, and it was a coming out in a way, to actually a big turning point was her meeting the likes of yourself in April and seeing how much fun we were all having.
Normalizing it.
Do you know what I mean? And
as much as can be expected.
Yeah. No. And now I think she loves it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But she does drag herself.
She does do drag herself. So that's kind of my little, you know, coming out both as a gay man and as a as a drag queen. I want to come back to the fluidity thing, but I'd love to hear what your coming out experience was. I know a bit of it. Yours was a lot more different than mine, though. Jesus.
It was a little dramatic, mm-hmm. to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Very much
and
so.
It's just when you were talking about it there, I was actually kind of just feeling myself getting a bit anxious, because mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to have to talk next.
Well, I mean, like, okay, let's be real. Until this podcast, there's been a lot of things that you were very private about. You were a very private person. This has opened you up a lot. And I think it's also something that you enjoy now, but it can be difficult to share these stories.
Well, you know, like, now we're in kind of like semi-lockdown or whatever. I've been going out getting walks, and I've been like walking along just thinking, and I'm always thinking about kind of like what's coming up in the week, and I knew this podcast was coming up, and I was thinking a lot about coming out, and I cast in my mind back to that time in my life.
Yeah.
And like it's such a serious kind of like tricky topic, I think, to talk about, because I think so many people have gone through this, and even when you're talking about that, there's elements of that I totally relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the parts about like just basically living a lie for yourself and explaining yourself and hiding yourself and muting yourself down and all those things people do in different levels. And maybe now sometimes people people, new generations now, just like fall out. They don't even come out, you know, or sometimes they don't even have to come out. So everyone has very, very different stories and experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I was casting my mind back to that time in my life about, you know, I was a bit of a kind of like a late bloomer. So I suppose like I knew that.
Would you say you were innocent?
No, I wasn't innocent. Okay. No, I wasn't innocent, but I was like not really interested in boys or girls. I was actually interested in dollars. I was interested in working.
God,
and
I knew this hustling. About you. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my number one. And it was only when I kind of realized that I was definitely not into girls. And then I kind of had a hankering towards men that I
what
was.
What
like,
age were you when you kind of figured that
out? I'd say probably about like 15.
Okay, yeah.
I'd say 15. Like
that was an average age for our time of
absolutely
of being 15.
And I had a good friend who basically I knew. I was like, I think we were like two peas in a pod. Like we did everything together. Like we were best friends. And he told me one time he had come out to me. He told me that he was gay, mm-hmm. and that he was much more kind of like, he's like, oh, I like this boy, and this is, and just overwhelmed me with all this information.
Yeah.
But I was kind of feeling like, oh, and I felt like he'd kind of pit me to the post, and now I couldn't say it because he just told me, so I didn't want to be like copying.
I've heard that before. Like, for instance, there's lots of families that have gay siblings. There's not there's more than one gay in the family.
Yeah.
And the person that gets to come out first often delays the other one because they're like, oh, okay, no, you've done it. Now people need to get over that, and then maybe I'll think about me, you know?
And yeah, so that was a bit of a contentious time. And then I ended up kind of like having this dalliance with somebody before my friend had a dalliance with anybody.
Oh.
And I told him, I said, I think I'm bisexual because I'm just not sure. I'm very unsure.
Yeah.
And he basically was so, I think, annoyed with me. Just basically kind of stopped being my friend. Because
you'd done bits first.
Because I think I had advanced the program like leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh fuck.
The
so
program.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so I'd like gone there, and from somebody that was like, I'd look gone from like 0 to 60, which of course is me, mm-hmm. all over.
Yeah.
So then I was kind of just felt like I was really alone. Then nobody knew anything. So I felt just a bit really out there, like on an island.
Yeah.
And I continued to kind of, you know, tick along, and ended up...
he was your Robin, like, do you know what I mean? You were Batman and Robin in that respect. And like, and just knowing that someone has your back in that way, and then all of a sudden, gone, see you.
Yeah, so I continued, I was working and blah, 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 and I ended up meeting this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go kind of too much into this, because I think... it's, I don't know, I just...
Yeah, I didn't go too much into the girls either, because, I mean, that's their story, and those finer details don't matter. I also want to talk about, like the internet dating world at our time in another episode, so that's something, too, to think about.
Well, this is my experience, and this is how I lived through it, and how this is what had happened for me.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I had got involved with this guy who was a little bit older than me.
Mm-hmm. And, what age were you?
I was 17 at this time.
Yeah.
I was 17 and he was older. I'm just going to say that. We kind of got into this really intense... He was in the closet as well.
Mm-hmm.
this really intense relationship. It was like very heavy, very quick, but I felt so much comfort in it because I felt like somebody actually got me and I could be myself with this person.
Yeah.
So it's actually all I wanted, you know. And he's a very successful person and very kind of well-to-do, and his family was very well-to-do, and they were kind of from very established kind of like background.
Mm-hmm.
So I was living the life. I was having a great time, and you know,
was he I suppose, not that you're a kept woman, but he was like not only opening this new life to you, but also he was like looking after you a bit too.
Yeah, we like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, we were very much into each other.
Yeah.
But he was looking after me. He treated me really, really well.
Yeah.
And it was nice to just feel like I was being looked after, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as time kind of passed on, it got more and more intense, and my world started to kind of shrink, and I realized that it just was becoming about me and him all the time.
Right.
And
you'd lost like touch with other people.
Yeah, well, it was just like I couldn't really have other friends, and he was just, because he was in the closet as well, so we kind of just had this little world together.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was kind of, you know, having other friends or going off here, he'd throw wobblers and, you know, strops, and it'd be kind of tightened up and all this kind of stuff. So it was just, it got very intense, and there was arguments all the time, and it was difficult. So it got to the point where I just was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm 17. I need to spread my wings. I need to tell. And by this age, nobody knew. Not one person in my life. Only him. So he knew everything. He knew all my, like, not that deep, dark secrets. I was 17. Like, but he knew everything. And my world was so intense.
He knew your most important secret, though.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
He knew. He knew the essence of who I was, basically. And no one else did. And I was living this masquerade to everyone else. So I just said to him, I was like, listen, I really love you, but I can't do this anymore. I was like, I think we need to separate, you know, we're at different stages in our life, and, you know, we need to spread. And he basically fucking lost it. And he said, if you finish this, I will tell everybody. I will tell everyone that you work with. I will tell everyone in your family.
Wow.
You know, your life will basically won't be worth living. And I was just like, oh, I just remember feeling this sinking feeling of like, what the fuck am I going to do? I'm just so stuck.
Mm-hmm. And which to be fair, you were about to make those steps yourself.
Yeah, for
really,
myself.
But
for
in
myself.
Your own way, which, by the way, I think is something important to address. Everyone needs to come out in their own way. Nobody should be outed at all.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was like, everybody's journey is so specific and time is precious. Like, time, you know, you everything should happen at your own pace.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, in regards to fucking everything.
Yeah.
But this was so important to me. And I just stayed. I was like, I just, the fear of being exposed, the fear of being caught, the fear, because I really thought that everybody would just turn on me. I had this feeling that everyone would leave me. Yeah. I would be left with nothing again. And I felt like with him, I had something.
Mm-hmm. And I think the narrative on TV at that time as well was that gay was a negative thing, and that, you know, it would break you up in terms of your family and relationships.
Yeah.
So those things, they didn't just happen to be in your head.
No.
You'd seen them on the telly.
Yeah. And it was really, really serious time. Like, I just went really into myself, because when I went back and we just kind of were like, you know, and we were kind of living together as well. Like, it was like part-time. And how I'd explain this, I'd made up loads of fucking stupid lies and everything just to kind of try and disguise this. I said I was renting a room from a friend. All this bullshit. It was just lies.
Because you were working. You actually were earning money.
Yeah, I was working. I had a job, and I was like, you know, so it was... The lies, when I look back now, were ridiculous, but they were what I had to do to cover up my life, do you know, that kind of way. So I went back to my kind of miserable personal existence, and I was going, oh God, like, what am I going to do? And that about 2 weeks in, I just thought to myself, oh my God, I was really depressed, really low on myself, and I just thought, like, I felt trapped, and I was in work, and I was kind of like, I wasn't eating, and I was just clearly a miserable person. And this girl I worked with at the time, she just said, are you okay? She knew I was just literally, something had changed. And she herself was a lesbian.
Okay.
And she was like, she was a manager I had in work. And she said, you haven't been yourself. What's going on? And I just fucking, I just blurted out. I just told her. I was like, this is, but I told her, of course, me being me, I told her fucking everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was just like, oh God. Like, she was like, I only asked you.
She probably regretted that.
She was like, all right. So you're back from your break. So I told her and she was just like, oh God, that's awful. And ironically enough, we were living in the same apartment building that she was living in with her girlfriend.
Right.
And that's why I kind of felt like she'd seen me in the like local shops and stuff. So
yeah.
So there was already, she knew, she's like, who's that? Who are you living there with? So there was always questions already. So it was kind of the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
So I just told her and she said, fuck this. She's like, you're leaving. Come on. So we did like a bit of a fucking midnight dash. So when I knew he wasn't going to be there, I took all my stuff. I was like, right, I'm going. And then I cleared out and I just told him, I was like, listen, we're done. I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
And he's like, you don't mean this, and if I get back there and all the stuff's gone, blah blah blah, you're gonna regret it. And when he went back, all the stuff was gone, and there was not a trace of
it. Were you shitting it?
I was shitting it. My stomach was like in my mouth. I was just, I've never felt so afraid. And I also just kept saying, I was like, I really just want to leave on good terms. I want to be friends.
Yeah.
I don't want any trouble. I just want to go.
You were 17.
17.
Take everything else out of it. You were 17. It was too much. You weren't ready for it. And
I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
And so we ended up, I got all my shit and that was fine. And he had texted me saying, I can't believe you've done this. You're going to regret this. And then it all went radio silence. So I was like, okay, I think things are passing. But then when I was like leaving work one time, he'd be like waiting for me. And he actually approached me and he didn't know that the manager that had helped me, he didn't know that that she was the girl that was with me at the time. And he said, he goes, do you know that he's gay, basically trying to out me in public to this girl. And she's like, I know. She's like, he's telling me everything. I know the score. You want to fuck off and cop on.
Yeah.
And I thought that was it. It was a real dramatic showdown in the middle of the street. It was in like Henry Street. And I remember thinking, Jesus Christ, because he was shouting and it was just a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought that was it.
Can I ask you something just random? Was he right?
I really fancied him. Yeah, it was like I was kind of into like older guys at the time. When I was older, I was 17, so I mean, like he was in his 20s. He wasn't old, like
right, yeah,
he was
yeah,
in his 20s.
Yeah. But to you at that point, he was.
Yeah, of course, and I wouldn't have been with him if I didn't think that.
Yeah,
and so I ended up got all my shit and I moved home. And everything went quiet and I was like, okay, I kept getting texts saying, can't believe you've done this, blah, blah.
I was actually trying to think, was there text messages at the time?
Yeah, because there was text messages.
I remember when text started and I was like, what the hell is a text?
There was text. and one day I just got a message to say, I was at home and he said, I had a bag of stuff or whatever that I had taken from the apartment that was like my stuff. And he was like, I want to pick up that stuff. So if you want to give that back to me. And I was just like, yeah, I'll make sure I'll send it on to you. You can get it. And he's like, no, I'll come and pick it up from your house. Mm. And I was like, no, I'll send that on. I'll make sure that you get it. And he's like, no, it's fine. I'm going to drop over and I want to have a word with your mum.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, like no, this, he said no. I told you that if we're not going to do this, then we're better off just to get things out in the open. So I was bricking it, like absolutely bricking it. I just thought, like, this is nuts. He is going to come to my house and out me. This is what's coming.
Terrified,
like absolutely, like that was like you know when like a lift falling. It's like being in a lift and the lift fall.
Yeah.
I just felt like my world was, I've never felt anything like it in my life. I really, like he was going to be coming to my house and it was going to be happening like imminently, was just fucking up the walls. So
Can I just say as well though, Dee, like it's not just outing you. He was actually coming and saying, basically going to tell her that you had been sneaking around behind her back. You'd been lying. And that's a lot extra, do you know what I mean? And also, no one at 17 wants their ma to know that they've been, you know, doing dirty things. Do you know what I mean? Like, doing bits with anyone. Well,
it wasn't that. It was just like that. It was just being exposed and it was nobody's right to do that.
except mine. Like, no. I was the only person that could, that had the right to tell my story. Nobody else should be speaking for anybody else. And I had the fear, so I just thought, oh, fuck, he, like, I think he will do it. Because it kept, all these threats just kept coming at me, but then they wouldn't, like, it just wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So then I just basically had said to my mother, I was like, listen, if anyone comes to the house, I'm not here. That was my go-to. No, I'm not here.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, okay, expecting someone? I was like, no, I'm just not here. She's like, okay.
Which is a strange thing to say, let's face it.
Yeah. So she was kind of going, okay. And
she was on red alert.
She's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And she's like, you're just acting really strange. I was like, no, I'm fine. Meanwhile, I'm like literally biting the nails down to the fucking cuticles and like literally like walking up and down. My feet were probably like a size 5. I'd just done that many laps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was so stressed. And well, I kept going up, down, upstairs, downstairs, looking out the window to see. And then eventually she's like, I'm just going to go down to the supermarket. Do you need anything? I was like, no, I'm fine. Just like. Mm-hmm. And then she pulls out of the driveway and then the car just appears and he just blocks her car from driving out of the estate or out of the drive. And she got out of the car and she's like, I was just looking out the window and I could see them talking. And he said to her, is he home? And she's like, no.
Davina. Is Davina home? Yeah.
Is Davina home?
Yeah.
And she's like, no. No, he's gone out. And he's like, okay. Grant got back in his car and just drove off.
Mm.
And I was like,
oh, that was the end of that?
No, it wasn't. I wish it was. And then she came back and she's like, who's that guy? Who, and I said, he's just a friend. He's like, he's just a friend. And she's like, okay. And she's like, I've never seen him before. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, just it's a new friend. So obviously still acting really weird. And then he texts me saying, okay, I know your mom was going out, but I'm coming back and I'll be back in a half an hour. Mm-hmm. You've got 30 minutes. Get that bag together and I'll come pick it up. And I just thought, oh my God, now. Then I felt like I was on a stopwatch, like a timer.
Yeah.
And God, like, even when I think back about it now, like, my mouth was going dry.
Oh God, I'd say so. I'd say you wanted to shit yourself.
It just was so, so traumatizing. Like, and so she said, so like, how do you know him? And I was like, oh, he's a friend of such and such. Again, just fluffing, just trying to, you know. And she said, can I ask you, is he gay? Oh, and wow. I said, yeah, I think so. Yeah. And she said, and can I ask, are you gay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I was like, yeah, I think so. I was like,
did you cry?
I was like, no, I didn't cry. I was just like, I don't know. I just, and she's like, okay, but like, well, what's going on here? Because you're acting really strange.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. It was like,
you're not good at hiding when something's bothering you as well. Like, no, you're really not.
And I had just basically kind of blurted out, I think I'm gay. But she just grazed over that. Like, she was like, well, but there's something more going on here. What is it?
She wasn't worried about that. She was worried about what?
No. And I was like, I was so freaked about just saying those words. And then it had kind of...
They're the hardest words to say, though. They really can be so hard to get out of your mouth.
Yeah. So that was fine. But then she's like, but what's going on? And I said, listen, he's coming back and I have to give him these things for the house. And so she said, listen, go get all the shit together for him. And when he comes back, have them ready for him. And just remember that when you get involved with people like that, things can get messy. Like, she basically just grazed over it all.
Fab.
I was just like,
fair play.
Yeah, I was so taken aback. Mm. Like, I really was.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, I felt like I'd kind of vented then. So I got my shit together, went back up, and I was ready. And lo and behold, then, of course, he fucking does arrive back to the door. And he's like, I just opened the door. I said, there's your shit that you needed to pick up. Now, you've done your damage. By this stage, I was angry.
Yeah.
I was angry. I wasn't like, I was angry that he made me have that conversation.
Yeah.
And I just take your shit and just, I never want to see you again. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, because I said that, the reaction was not what he was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So then he started crying and he was upset and he was wailing at the fucking door.
Oh,
and I just said, I don't ever want to see you again. I'll never forgive you for what you've done to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I slammed the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when things started to go to the next level. He started like fucking shouting in the letterbox, demanding to speak to my mother.
Oh God.
My sister was there. She was only young.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
My mother came to the door and she was just like, Yeah, she was cool as a fucking cucumber.
Oh, God.
Now, by this age, can you imagine? Like, I was dripping cold sweat. And I was like, God.
I'm dripping cold sweat. Just listen to this.
Your two worlds colliding, and you're just standing there.
Yeah.
Like, your total secret life that you're so ashamed and you're like, you've hidden for your whole existence, and then your real family life just coming like head to head. It was just nuts.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's like, what's going on? She was so cool. And he was just like, tell her. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I won't say his name, but we were like, you know, we've been friends.
Oh.
And he's like, friends. Friends don't have sex and do things like that, whatever.
Oh my God, not for your man. Oh, go on.
And I just was like, oh my God. When he said that, I lost it. I just lost it. And I just said, you fucking... I just went nuts.
Yeah.
And she said to me, stop. She's like, I never raised you to speak to anyone like that. Mm-hmm. She's like, do not speak to anyone like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like reprimanded.
But you were stressed. You were very stressed. Like, you don't break very easily. Let's say that. Do you know what I mean? You're very good at, even in these stressful scenarios, keeping cool and actually getting a few slight digs in while being cool. So, like, for you to break like that is a lot. Go on. So she reprimanded you.
Yeah, so I kind of had this, like, oh, okay. So like, okay. So I just, like, went real quiet.
Sorry, Mom.
And he's hysterical.
Yeah.
And I was so angry with him. And she just said, you know, sometimes relationships don't work out. And, you know, you're a little bit older. And maybe you should have a little bit more sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go inside now. And I think you should get going, basically. Yeah.
Fair play to your mom.
She turned on her heels, just walked back in. She was so cool and just so...
Fair play.
And
that's what you needed, though. That is actually what you needed.
His plan had just completely backfired on him.
Yeah.
And he was just standing there kind of going, like, this is it. And I just... He said, don't leave like this. I took up the bag of shit that he was coming to pick up and I just walked over and I just fucked it out of his car and I just said, I don't ever want to see you again.
Yeah.
And then just like that, it was all done.
Yeah.
And... You know, I had once I knew I had her back, and then it didn't feel
so daunting.
I felt like I could tell anybody then.
Yeah.
Do you know, it didn't matter what anyone else, because I knew that
you just needed one person to have your back.
She had my back. Mm. And I did see that guy again, and we've spoken since, and things have changed so much, and it feels like a lifetime ago now. And I don't harbor any of the animosity that I had for a long time, because I know he was coming from a place of pain as well. And
he had his own trauma that he was carrying.
But that's how the experience I feel went for me.
Yeah,
and that's how I experienced it. And I don't know if he might disagree with that.
Yeah,
but that's how it rolled out for me.
Yeah,
and. And I lived to tell the tale, and I got through it. And I really thought for a lot of times through it that I wouldn't make it to the other side.
I know.
And I think it's, everyone has to be, I think what Noah was saying as well is, like, everyone has to be patient and to be kind to themselves, because it is like that 17-year-old kid feels like a lifetime ago. But when I was walking yesterday, I can still tap into those emotions very easy. They're still just under the surface. Mm-hmm. I don't think I will ever forget the trauma of that ever.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
If I'm being honest.
It shaped you. It has shaped you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just want you to briefly touch upon it, because I spoke about it too, is in relation to the drag, because I think we can come out for a whole host of reasons.
Sorry, I know that sounded all really heavy, but it was like, it's not.
You know what? I really think it's important for people to hear, because, you know, there's someone going through that maybe right now, or, you know, sometimes to hear someone else's traumatic experience, you can go, actually, mine is actually not so bad. Davina had it really rough, so.
I'll take it for the team, don't worry.
What about drag? Just briefly, what was that like?
I remember when we first started doing drag, me and April started doing it together, and I had said, so we're kind of dancing in the George, and I didn't really mention the drag. I said, we're kind of dancing with drag queens, and we're going to be doing the show, and she was like, okay, and then I kind of kept mentioning it again. I'm dancing in the George again, and she's like, right.
Glamorous dancer.
With the drag queens, glamorous dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she thought I was a stripper. I think she thought I was like stripping. I think that was like, and I was like, no, it's like a cabaret show. Then I had, and she was like, oh, okay.
Because our moms have an idea of what the George is like in their heads that aren't a reality.
Yeah. So I think she, and then when she kind of realized that, then I remember talking to my brother about it, and I was like, you know, because it was like maybe a year after when I first came out that I was actually, that I came out to my brother. I waited like a while for that because we didn't live together, and the way things timeline worked out, it was just the way it went. And I just said, listen. And he was like, yeah. He's like, sure, listen. Like, you know, that's one thing my mom did say to me. She was like, I knew you were gay before you even knew how to read. Yeah. She's like, you know, and I think my whole family is the same. They all kind of knew that I was different.
Yeah.
But my brother was just like, he literally went, so.
Yeah.
Like, that was his reaction.
Which is what you need.
Yeah. And I said, and I do drag. And he's like, right, okay. And yeah. I was like, yeah. No, I was like, you know, it's not like, you know, it's not like I don't want to become a woman. It's not like that. I was explaining it just so he would get it. And he's like, yeah. He's like, and I don't care. He said, even if you did want to become a woman, or if it was anything to do with that, he's like, I still wouldn't care. Mm. He's like, so what? And he's like, and no one else will care either.
No.
And like, that meant so much to me because it was just such an underreaction.
Yeah.
That was just like, I feel so blessed that I had that reaction that I did, because considering what I went through, if I had had a bad reaction, totally. I don't know where I would have been left. I really don't.
So. I think even though we both came out and things got a lot better, we both carry a lot of things from those teenage years in terms of internalized homophobia. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
it lives on.
It really does. Like, you know, sometimes I get uncomfortable around family when they ask about, you know, if I'm seeing someone and they ask questions about that person, mm-hmm. or, you know, if they're asking me about my social life and what happened at the weekend, what to go to. And I switch back into this teenager who's uncomfortable with, you know, his own skin. And that's something that I think I will always have to try and push out of. No matter how amazing my family are, for me to stop giving myself a hard time.
It's ingrained in us, true society as well. I think people feel it on different levels. And I think it's, as generations go by, it gets easier. It does get easier for people.
Yeah.
And I think it's to be kinder to people that don't have it as easy as you. And
so true.
Just because you had a good coming out experience does not mean the next person will.
Your coming out story has made me really emotional. Sorry.
Jesus, bitch.
I was saying that last sentence. I was like, oh, don't cry, girl. Like, I'm fucked out.
It's just a lot, because I feel like sometimes we have a great life and everything's fun and like we entertain and do all that. But I feel, when I think about that, that was so real.
Yeah.
And so... such a crazy time.
Mm-hmm. You know that we were friends over 5 years before you really fully shared that story. And I remember, because we were away at the time, and you were even cautious about how to word it.
I still am, because I don't want to, because it can be taken out of context, and I want it to be as concise as I can.
Yeah.
Whether to help people or just, because I don't want to feel like I'm bashing someone either.
No, and I don't think you came across that way either. Like, you know, as I said, that person had their own trauma. You know, we all are led down these roads that are more difficult, and, you know, sometimes we don't make the best choices, and he certainly didn't. But I do like the idea that you guys have been in touch since and kind of, you know, moved on, if that makes sense.
Well, that was our coming out stories. So a little bit of perspective into our own personal tales. But don't forget, we do have another fabulous bonus episode for other people's perspectives coming out this Sunday, which is the 11th, which is National Coming Out Day. So stay tuned and keep your eyes peeled for that, babies.
So that was all our lovely coming out stories. And after that, I think we can only wrap up this episode with everyone's favourite time of the week. It is Rotter of the Week.
Rotter of the Week on Petty Little Things.
So,
I'm so ready for this.
My favorite time of the week.
I'm ready for this. My list is so long this week. It's
bulging.
Like, we could do a whole episode. Bulging, so I'd say. Who has been rotting you this week, my sweet?
Well, I seem to be going with general things very lately. Like, as opposed to like somebody specific, it's people that have certain language this week. So, I'm going to start with mini moons. People that go on mini moons. Since when the fuck is there a mini moon and a honeymoon? Like, how greedy do you have to be? How many photos on Instagram do you expect us to look at of you two gloriously in love on your mini moon and then going off and ramming your honeymoon photos down our throats?
So, is a mini moon pre-honeymoon or post-honeymoon?
It's a pre-honeymoon. So you might go on a little break to, like, say, Spain or Italy because you're going on this.
Maybe just after your marriage, after. Is it?
Like, yeah, yeah. Okay. So, like, you know, like, hashtag mini moon. I'm like, ugh, no, not hashtag mini moon. Like, just go on your honeymoon. Just wait until you're going on your honeymoon and that's fine. No mini moon as well. You're just, like, absolutely dragging. Because you know people can drag out weddings in general. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, we're talking like stag parties, hen parties, bridal showers, and then like 3-day wedding events, and then there's the mini moon, the honeymoon, and then meeting a year later to watch the wedding video, all of those kind of things. Like, people drag out their weddings. I'm sorry, but I don't have that much annual leave. Just a day would be nice, thanks. And I'm also not mad if you do it in Dublin. Do you know what else I'm not mad? If you go and elope, head off to Vegas there, hun, and do it. I'm totally fine with that too. But mini moon, Davina, needs to be stopped. I can't take it. But
I'm getting that vibe. You know, I would be surprised. They're probably going to start doing funerals like this as well. So funerals will probably start dragging out to like, be like, and now we're going to embalm the body. Be like, and then next year we're going to dig it up.
Because they're doing that with babies now, like the gender reveal parties, which I'm not into anyway. Like there's so many bloody events.
These special days are becoming more than the special day. They're becoming special
years.
Like, special seasons.
Well, actually, maybe that's one good thing that COVID's done for us. They're like, you know, they can't have the 60 parties. Whoa, no, I can't go. I'm so sorry, hun. So that's my rudder. But also to add into that, Davina, is anyone that says himself, you know, or like puts up a picture.
Oh, the hubby.
Yeah, the hubby.
The hubby.
Like, oh, I'm out with himself tonight. Like, girl, we get it. You have a fella. I'm sure you're thrilled. Like, absolutely. Like, how do you know a gay has a fella? Because they tell you 500 times. Do you know what I mean? Like, literally, like, shut up saying himself.
Himself.
Like, no. Like, it's just not needed. Why does that bother me, though?
So would you rather they just said the person's name?
Yeah. Or do you even have to say, like, if there's a picture of the two of you, we know you're together. We know it's your fella. Do you know what I mean? Can you not just say out and power scored for the day? Gorgeous weather.
Oh. Hashtag gay couple.
Me and himself. Oh, no. Ooh, it actually just turns my stomach.
Okay. I get it.
Do you agree with it, though? Am I being OTT? Tell me.
There's parts of it that I agree with and there's parts of it that I'm like, it doesn't really bother me, but there is parts of it that just make me go a bit like, I live half my life in an eye roll state. So like, I constantly, I think I'm walking around like I'm trying to communicate with the dead, you know, when your eyes keep rolling. So I feel like I live half my life like that as is. So my next thing is that I need to get Facebook to put an eye roll emoji.
I'd love that.
But I half agree with you and half the other half doesn't care.
Go on, then. What has been bothering you?
This is a kind of funny one. I have a list, but there is what annoys me is, and actually a friend had brought this to my attention and I realized how much it really annoys me. You know, people who give really backhanded compliments.
Yes.
You know, people who'd say, like, for example, you have lovely blonde hair and you're like, you know, or say, for example, I'd be doing a show and you'd be like wearing blonde and then you'd go, oh, I'm going to wear my brown wig tonight. Mm-hmm. And someone turn around and be like, oh, prefer your blonde. Right. And you're like, okay, it's a wig. I can change it. No, much better blonde. Yeah. Much better blonde. Like, that's nice, but you look better blonde. Yeah.
And or people will say, you know, like, geez, you look great. Have you lost weight?
I hate that too.
You know, like this?
I hate that.
Like, just backhanded compliments. Yeah. Like, that dress is gorgeous on you. Or then, like, they say something like, that dress is gorgeous on you. Or, you know, like, haven't I seen you wearing that before? You know, like, I love when you wear that.
Yeah.
You know, something like sure, that. So it's that real.
That also
just like,
exists.
They just won't let you have the minute.
No, not at all. But that also exists in drag. Like, I've heard certain drag queens being like, no, she looks better in the drag, doesn't she? Oh, yeah, no. Or, no.
Yeah.
Drag doesn't suit her at all. No, should no. Much no. better out of the drag. And I hate that as well. Like, yeah. Backhanded.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like, say, geez, like, oh no, you look much better in drag. You know, you mm-hmm. look, it's like, it's real. Like, oh no, you're gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no. But it's like, it's coming across as a compliment, but it's actually an insult. And it's a real skillful art to do it. I remember, there was this one person in particular I had to actually cut out my life because I realized that every single time I ran into them, they were just constantly backhand complimenting me. Constantly. You know, this person's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So it would make me laugh when I'd they'd say it and be walking away and I'd just be laughing to myself. And then I'd just like, oh my God, what a fucking, like, what a fucker. Yeah. So there is an art form to dropping into conversation, like drop that little bomb and run. But yeah, it rots me because
It's like, fucking rude, and we know exactly what you're up to.
It's
we know
rude.
Exactly what you're up to.
It's rude.
We're not stupid.
Yeah.
You're just coming for us. You're being nasty, and you belong in the trash, basically.
Yeah, and watch out for it because people do it all the time. Like, so it's definitely a rotter for sure.
And that is our rotters of the week, our two little rotters. I think that brings us to the end of our episode.
It does.
That was a long and juicy one. Two of your favorite things.
Thank you, thank you, everybody. Remember to subscribe and to leave reviews, as we've said. And we'll
and Davina is on top of the merch at the moment. She sent it out last week.
I am.
So if you would like to order merch, you can go to www.pettylittlethings.net/shop. Buy our shit.
Absolutely. Listen, thanks, guys. And remember,
stay petty.
Stay petty.
Bye, Davina. See you soon.
Mwah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.